Yoga is the path of realization. How to connect the individual with God, the totality. That is mainly yoga. To approaching the spiritual life, there are four methods based upon human nature. According to psychology, we have three faculties. We think, we feel, and we do things. When all these three are in abeyance, that is called the yogic condition or the mystic condition. So these are the four possible states of the mind, based on which four yogas have been mooted. Then various other yogas are spoken of. They are the offshoots of these four yogas. Anything that attunes a person to God is a yoga. And among them, as he says, karma yoga is one of the major methods. According to scriptures, according to major philosophers, jnani yogis, they say, yoga is necessary so that with the help of this, mind will be purified. When the mind is purified, the question will arise, who am I? And they will analyze that our real reality is not the body because it dies after 100 years. It is not the mind because constantly it is changing. Whatever changes is not the reality, permanent reality, it is temporary. So, they said, beyond the body and the mind, there is another entity, another aspect of ourselves, which continues from birth to birth or for eternity. It is part of the infinite totality, Brahma. Now, to realize this, you take recourse to meditation. That is, comes under Raja Yoga, meditation. The idea is if the mind becomes fully controlled, completely one-pointed, the natural glory of the Atma will come up. Jnana yogis analyze that our real nature is transcending the body and the mind. It is the spirit, the Atma. They analyze in different ways, and that is their conclusion. The bhakti yogis takes for granted that there is a higher power behind the universe. Normally he is called God, Ishvara. By devotion to him, by loving him, gradually all the dross is dried up and devotion develops, bhakti develops. And bhakti matured is as good as realization. Now, karma yoga, that is method of connecting one with the Lord. How? Because we are always engaged in different types of action. Even breathing is an action, thinking is an action, eating is an action, studying is an action. Whatever you do is some type of action. So you cannot remain without action. How to spiritualize that action? You spiritualize it either by connecting with God, at every time you think of God, through His name, through His mantra, or just keep a feeling of love. Worship is a major method in bhakti yoga. Loving Him, dedicating every action to God. The Lord sits by our heart as the inner guide and manifests His glory to us. So whatever we do, we are prompted by God. But we have to realize it. We have got a theoretical idea. So by detached action, we can know that the Atman is separate from the body and the mind. Or by dedicating ourselves to God, we connect ourselves with God and gradually we get God's nature or devotion. The Karma Yoga has got side effects because this is for realizing the spiritual state of illumination. But Karma Yoga has got its effect. Every yoga has effect. Karma Yoga has a special effect on our day-to-day activities. Various type of action bring us joy and bring us suffering also. All the joys that we come, we enjoy. No philosophy is necessary, no God is necessary, no technique is necessary. We just enjoy. But when something goes wrong, then we want to find out the reason for it. Why me? All the people of the world are moving happily, and I have got this ailment, this trouble, that trouble. When everything is fine, we don't ask questions. That is how, that whenever there is some type of affliction, then the question arises in the mind. According to Indian scriptures, Sanskrit, there are three types of affliction every man has got, every person has got. One is the trouble that comes from yourself, from your body and from your mind. Body, of course, we know the ailments of the body. The ailments of the mind is, good news comes, we are happy, bad news comes, we are unhappy. Somebody loves us, we like it very much. Somebody hates us, we don't like it very much. Somebody praises us, we are very happy. Somebody criticizes us, we are very unhappy. So in life, unhappiness is part of happiness. Happiness is there, but unhappiness also follows. Alternative, practically you have it. So they said, work in its train brings trouble. So how to lessen this trouble? Is there any technique? Is there any thought? Is there any method by which I can control the reaction? As long as I can bear it, you don't require a philosophy or a technique. You bear it. Then when it becomes too much, then you require some type of support. God is a major support. When we are in trouble, we pray to God, please help us. Or if we are a devotee, we question also, why are you putting us in trouble? So we believe that by prayer to God, He will be sympathetic to us and lessen our trouble. By that faith, the suffering lessens a little. A child is disturbed, the mother says, don't fear, I am there. The child is comforted. Similarly, even an adult, to God he is like a child. So or with a childlike faith, he goes to God and feels a sort of repose. And of course God also does something sometimes, but not every time. So that's why half the people of the world are not devotees. If every time he did it, then everybody would be a devotee. So this is the problem. The God, as it were, becomes choosy. If you tell him, then only he looks after you. If you don't tell him, it looks he doesn't bother about you. So you increase your strength of mind and don't bother about God too much. And what is the method? Mind gets upset. It is your mind. You are the only person who can control it, the reaction. Mind, somebody insults you, some disease comes, something happens. It is the mind which enjoys and suffers. Body is very little. If excruciating pain is there, then only you shriek. But for that, doctors are there, they make you, put you to sleep or kill your pain by various methods. But then again the mind comes back after sleep or after swooning and all that. Again you have to face. So a sense of fear is concomitant with our existence. We are always in suspense. A blow falls on our body. Before it falls, the whole muscle system is tense. But once it falls, then we bruise us, but the whole body relaxes. So apprehension is much more painful than actual happening. So when illness comes, fear of illness is more. It is said there are six major fears in life. Our life is full of fear because actually very little thing happens. You may fear 100 things, half a dozen things may happen. The rest are our imagination. The bomb may fall. Now the other people have got their missiles and this and that. Very little chance, but still we are apprehensive. I remember one of our people, a nun, wanted to go to India. At that time some political trouble, and in other countries when political trouble comes, violence comes, people are affected. In this country people are harmless, and of course police is quite strong with instruments. So very rarely anybody is killed. But there are people may be killed. So our Swami there told them, no, no, you cannot go. Life is very risky in India. So I was visiting, I was a guest. I didn't know that the Swami has already given his opinion. So they asked me, Swami, I want to go to India. What do you think? bomb may fell, shooting may there, every now and then shooting. What will happen? Shall I go? Well, why not? There are 800 million people in India, now 1 billion. Out of the whole country, in one place a bomb will burst, or shooting will be there. And shooting also, 5,000 people are there, out of them probably 4 or 5 people will die. Why do you think that out of these 1 billion people, you will be the person? Very little chance of your getting it. Then I told, you are a nun. You have given up everything. Even if you die, what does it matter? So she went to India and told everyone, the Swami said, if you die, what does it matter? And sure enough, there was train strike, the disturbed plane was not working. There was some type of attack from Pakistan and all that. Now, ultimately they got some seats after waiting for 3-4 days, and still more or less completed their journey. Only in some areas, government did not allow them to go because they are foreigners. The border areas they did not give. So, suspense, apprehension that this may happen, it is difficult to go. Difficult. So this apprehension brings, oh, I may fall sick, what will happen? I have got a man, how about, maybe 50, 52 years old. He has got a wife, and he has 2 adopted children. In his heydays, he did not think about the future, so he adopted 2 children. An American man, and they were Koreans. But children, Koreans, doesn't matter, they became Americans. But unfortunately, one boy was, what is the disease, not the many children get it?
Autism.
Loudly tell the word.
Autistic.
So the boy was autistic. At the age of 2, it was found out. But by that time, he's a child, their child. So at that time, the thought of adoption is not there. So, a part of their life is a little blasted, disturbed, all the time to look after. Anyhow, the other child grew up, she was a girl, and good in studies, but a little moody. Now and then she would quarrel. She quarrel now and then. She was in school final, stopped talking to father. But of course father maintained her, sent her to college with all university loan, but he was the guarantee this, and gave money. The problem is, he came to me and said, Swami, what will happen if I die now? Who will look after my boy? And who will manage this girl? Well, what is her wife? Well, she has a job, but alone what could she do? And that job is not enough. He had his job, but did not shine too much in life, so a feeling of defeatist feeling was there. When you are young, you think you may be the king of the country, and then end up with a little small jobs. So he was unfortunate that way, so a feeling, depressed feeling, naturally was there. But round and round began to tell me, if I die, what will happen? And I spent half an hour to pacify him, to tell him this way and that way. Then after when he wrote too many things, and his point was, I become religious, but it's not useful. I became a Vedantist, but Vedanta is not helping me. That is, why not give up Vedanta for some time and see whether that helps you or not. Anyhow, so I wrote a blunt letter one day. Why do you think that you are the center of the earth? 6 billion people are there in the world. Whether you live or die, what does it matter to the world? Even for your family, American government hopefully will feed you. They will not allow your people to die. They may not have that type of standard, but they will be kept alive. When a thought like this one, it made me aware that everything in the world will not change, nothing in the world will change. You know, the boy will be looked after probably by the government. The girl has grown up, she's bright type. And wife is managing herself. If she cannot manage two children, government will come to help. And if nobody comes to help, you can have to say that is their fate, what could be done. He was a little pacified, but got afraid of me, I think. He did not tell anything afterwards. But would come for solace, how to progress, how to feel, not to feel agitated. And the real spiritual questions are mental questions, but not all the time wailing. I think God has not given you a contract that because you think of Him, He will remove all your troubles. That is the charge against personal God. He is not useful, you see. Now those who don't find Him useful, naturally why should they waste time on them, on Him? So you'll have to find, Karma Yoga comes in the picture. Karma Yoga says you need not believe in God, not to do anything. You develop strength in yourself. Strength in yourself that any problem comes, I shall be worried a little, but I won't allow it to be too much. I shall control. Many people say, oh, I am so peaceless. How to be peaceful? The easiest answer is be peaceful. Why do you become peaceless? Huh? Everybody is happy. Why should I be unhappy? Don't be unhappy. Who asked you to be unhappy? Yeah. So the point is, but how to be not to be unhappy? How not to worry? Worry and grief are the same bad thoughts round and round coming. So by a method you try to stop it. By analysis, by being detached. That I shall try this far. After that I won't worry about it. God-given power, whatever is there, I shall try. Even God word you did not use. So they are called detachment. You have enthusiasm become attachment. My son, my child, my house, my this. Attachment gives you energy. Attachment gives you enjoyment. But attachment brings suffering also. Technically, whatever gives you joy gives suffering also. Say a child, a good child, gives so much joy. But if the child falls sick, so much worry. Even if he's not a bad child, he's a good child, but still falls sick. So whatever gives joy to you will bring suffering to you also. If you know philosophically this is the way of life, you will not be so upset. This happens. That is a common man's philosophy. Life is like this. First time when they face unfavorable things, they become very upset. But if they experience the same bad thing 3-4 times, they get hardened. It happens. It happens like that. So this is a common man's philosophy. Aldous Huxley, a great intellectual, had a good saying that every man has a philosophy of life. That is, how to take the things of life, how to face them. It is not a question between a no philosophy of life and some philosophy of life, but between a good philosophy of life and a bad philosophy of life. So by thinking, analysis, practicing, you try to improve your idea of the philosophy of life, how I shall take life. So to stop the feeling of suffering, One method is detachment. But if you have detachment too much, then you have no zeal. For whom shall I work? So attachment is necessary. If you want to work well, I want to love my child. If I don't love, too much detachment, I won't slave for the child. Some biological reason also may be there. But as soon as civilization came to the human level, evolution, this idea, attachment, detachment were both there in life. That is why Swami Vivekananda used to say, in Karma Yoga, you must have as much attachment, so much detachment. If all attachment, enjoyment there, but suffering also there. All detachment, there is no enjoyment, because you all detach from whom to get enjoyment. There is an enjoyment of repose, but that's a different question. So he said, as much attachment, so much detachment. Like an engineer, you build day after day, you wake up at night, build a wonderful building in which you will never live. You see? Of course you get money, for everything money compensation is there. So this is the idea. I have my duty. I have finished my duty, I won't worry about it. So Ramakrishna used to say, become like a maid servant in a house. And M, the writer of Gospel of Ramakrishna, round and round you tell that. Now what is the maid servant? Nowadays you don't get maid servant. At one time they would live with the family and say, they will bring up the children and would say, as in the Gospel of Ramakrishna will find, my Ram, my Hari, Indian story. So, but her Ram and her Hari, her children are in the village. For them she is working hard. But when she brings up the children, she feels they are my children. But in her heart of hearts, she knows they are not mine. Similarly, normal people, they have children. They can spiritualize it by what? Or practice detachment is God-given children. So I shall look after them as best as I can. But after that I can't do it, it's God's will, it is His children. That is, it's like an office clerk. My duty is to work 8 hours. And the boss is strong, he makes me work 10 hours without giving surcharge or what it's called, extra money. They normally give, officers they don't give. But that is my lot. But as soon as the work is finished, I am free. I don't worry whether the office house is burnt or whatever happens. But if my house is burnt, of course, I am terribly afraid my whole life will be disturbed. So sense of possession, the third lesson, detach. Their detachment is there, I do my duty. A servant is doing his duty, but it's not if the whole thing goes, nothing happens to me. Nothing happens to me. So this is detachment. Detachment. I remember I once went to Brazil, professor of Berkeley University, was my devotee. So he sent word to another professor whose son was his assistant professor from Brazil. That a respected Swami is going there. I respect him very much. You meet him. Now everybody in the world has heard about the Indian yogis. They can change things, they can do this, they can cure diseases. Fulfill your desires. Unfortunately, we don't practice it, you see? Because Ramakrishna was against it. Why against that? If you go distant, miraculous powers you develop, your mind will be diverted to those things and it will not go towards God. That's why in our order we don't practice it. Though I now and then feel one or two people would be good. One in Kamaskatka or somewhere is there, we could say, yes, we have got a Swami in Kamaskatka, he can do this. Here was a Swami here in this country. He could stop his pulse. And he was examined in all psychological institute, mental institute. So he became very famous and became quite known as a saint. Swami Rama, Himalayan Institute. Of course, to become a Swami, you have to pay the price also. Merely is not a miracle. Your whole life will have to change. You know? To get respect, you will have to pay the price. You see? Every life has got a price to pay. Anyhow, so by effort you can get something, but we shun it. Anyhow, the woman, the wife, well, a lovely woman, of course, she was bursting with asking a question. But when they came, I was entered in the lecture hall, where about 100 people were waiting. So I told, yes, yes, yes. But she asked, my son has gone to Berkeley, studied there, got doctorate, got a job, and now he doesn't want to come. Now who will enjoy my big property? Only son and one daughter, I think. Who will enjoy my property? What will happen? So quickly, what could I tell? I told, be like an American mother. When I came back, American mothers protested. Why American? You tell modern. Well, all right, modern. What is a modern mother? A child is born. She knows, not that day, probably after some days, that this boy will have to go out of home by 21. If he doesn't go out, he's queer. That means a part of our mind is accepting the idea, it is my child, I don't want to leave him, but a time will come, he'll have to go. If he doesn't go, I shall have to push him out. You see? Indian mothers would not let even them to go. Nowadays, Indian mothers are also becoming a little more like American mothers, foreign mothers, because life is becoming almost like similar life. Of course, technically, sons are the investment also. They pour all their money on him with the idea that they will look after. Nowadays they don't look after, but the government look after. There was a debate before the Republicans came to power in '60s. One Buckley or somebody was an interviewer. And he very roughly he would ask questions. I found it difficult to hear him. Anyhow, insultingly, then I heard that there is one method. Anyhow, there is Republican versus Democrat, two sides. Whether social security should be there or not. Social security should be there or not. And at the end of your 62 or 65, whether you should get money or not. And then Medicare, this, that. So one priority was strongly advocated, no, we should not, government need not go into every affair of life. A law and order is enough. The other party, one man, that by the way, he was the one Rockefeller, that's why I remember. He was the governor of, what is the state nearby? Delaware, yes, Delaware. He got up and said, do you realize if this is not there, your mother-in-law will come to stay with you. He did not say your mother will come. He said your mother-in-law will come to stay with you. So, welfare system made everybody independent. So women also left on themselves or men. And women are better off because they know how to cook. Poor men, if they lose their wife, they are anxious to marry again. Why? Because they cannot cook, you see. That is my theory, of course. Of course, what I am telling you, you need not accept everything. I have joke also, I am telling. Anyhow, so security in life, everybody search. And security normally means physical security, food and shelter. These are the two major. Other securities, if they come, well and good. If they don't come, what can you do? And 80% of the people don't bother about who comes, who goes, who becomes a Raja or not Raja, or modern Rajas. They don't bother. And, but because they've got a vote, people push them, give votes, give votes. 30% of the people normally vote. Anyhow, so this idea of detachment is practiced. If you practice it, you are not touched by many of the problems of life. Now, you are in Washington, D.C., the capital of the country. So all the quarrels, all the mission is going on here. But how many of you are involved in it? Very few. Modern news were bringing and people have been educated. So everybody has an opinion. But they know their opinion doesn't make any impression. A little popular things, of course, is there to feel the pulse of the people. That means you are more or less indifferent. But detachment is not fully indifferent. It is knowingly, willingly, I am detached. If not, either suffer or be indifferent. Kalas. Kalasness also is a solution. I feel pain, everybody does something, I become callous, I don't care. So, anyhow, these are different types of imperfect theories. Now, Swami Vivekananda said karma yuga, that means detached action or dedicated action if you are a devotee. These are the two methods. By doing this, you can remove much of the sufferings of life. Sufferings which are mental. Physical sufferings may not be. Or by effort you can change also. Change to some extent psychological varieties of tidbits are there, you can do that. So Sri Vivekananda said, karma yoga can be practiced in day-to-day activity. My job, my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, I look after them, thinking they are God's children, God's gift. Unless God gave you the children, you could not get the children, or even a husband, you see, or a wife. Good to get is not easy. The luck plays a part. Luck is a no expression. God gives it. Or by your effort, you can to some extent change the situation. So they said, by your own effort, remove the reaction as much as you. So what is the sign of a yogi? He recovers his balance quickly. Any mother will be disturbed if a child falls sick. But a devotee mother, after 5 hours, 5 days, thinks, no, God is there, she'll look after. With that faith, they get a sort of composure. That is called surrender to God. Whatever God I love, he'll surely do good. And if he doesn't good, then I try to reconcile that God knows better than me. Mummy knows better what is good for me. So that is the devotee's method. And the strict karma yoga's method, not too much upset. Too much upset. Because by being upset, I don't help anything. I don't help anything. But Swami Vivekananda said, when you are serving your own people, though you are thinking I am detached, a little attachment remains, because my child. Somebody else's child I sympathize, but not that much. Is it? A feeling, my children and his children, a little difference is made. So I said, serve the poor people, downtrodden, ignorant people, who require help. It is a social necessity. And there you have nothing to gain. It is a pure, unselfish service. The To become detached, unselfish is necessary. The moment you expect something from somebody, half the time they don't feel grateful. So most of the charitable persons of the world get bitter after some years. Because they find, I have spent so much money, that fellow doesn't even recognize that I have done it. So that way, they become bitter. Unless they think it is God's work I am doing. Dedication. Or no expectation. I shall do the work as my duty, or because I feel soft, I give. But I won't expect anything. This is one method of not suffering. Ungratefulness is a major source of suffering in life. I did so much good for that person and he did not return it, did not do it. Anyhow, so he said, go and serve them where there is no chance of your physical return. That is the return we understand better, you see. But gratefulness also is a return, but that doesn't really bring me dollars or this or that. So, he said, unselfish work, if you want to practice, do for them. And society needs them. They need you. Your own children, anyhow, you look after, but other people, that idea. So sometimes, that idea is called Seva Yoga. One of our Swamis in London, Swami Abhaktananda, a disciple of Holy Mother. But in view he was half communistic, social equality, that idea. Non-possession, no property, like that you see. So he used to tell Seva Yoga. Karma Yoga in various involvement, but this is Seva Yoga, don't expect anything. You just give, that is the idea. Swami Abhaktananda, later I heard that our another Swami Gambhiranda, who is a writer, he also used that term a few times in his lecture. So I asked them to find out who is the pioneer, who is the first one to use the word. Everyone knows the idea, but to coin a word, there is the credit. Anyhow, Seva Yoga. No expectation. No expectation. That means unselfishness is to the maximum. Those who give service in the ashrama, more or less you don't get anything returned. Only either give money or give labor. This is to some extent Seva Yoga, no expectation. But human expectation could be there. See, I worked so hard, the Swami should be at least talking nicely to me. That way. If he doesn't talk nicely, oh, sadhus are like that. But it's a normal human expectation. But normally if you are purely unselfish, you can do it. But human nature is such, we cannot continue too long for it. We react. But ideal is not expecting. So when a poor people will give something, you don't expect anything. So he called it Seva Yoga rather than Karma Yoga. But Karma Yoga is what duty comes to me or what I want to do, I go involved there. Seva Yoga is not expected of me unless you are very social conscious, feel duty towards the society, that society has reared me up, I shall return something to society. That is what modern man learns, that something I am indebted to society. I should give something back. That is one attitude. Anyhow, so that is the idea of seva, service. But Vivekananda said, and Ramakrishna Mission people try to practice it, they are Swamis and they are devotees. That when I serve a person, I must try to see God in them. It can be applied in family also. The child, God has given me the child, I look after. But there is a little more scope where selfishness is minimum. So that will be called real karma yoga, real karma yoga. So it comes out two points only, that whatever you do, be detached. Or whatever you do, offer to God. If you offer to God, you are not bound. This is God's work. If God doesn't want, what can I do? Almost like a servant, you see. A servant detached, but does, whenever he does it wholeheartedly. You may say because you will get the money later. But there are many devoted servants in those days who grew up with the children. They almost like, became like brothers and all that that time. Anyhow, so karma yoga, I am telling about the facing the pains of life. Karma yoga gives you energy. It is not negative, it is positive. But saves you from the onrushing troubles from the other people. First is your trouble. Then there is natural trouble, hurricane, all this, that you have no control of them, about them. Whatever control social agencies, government try to lessen. And when it comes from other life animals, these, that, tigers, snakes, these, that, that is the third type of affliction. So man has affliction from these three directions. He can't do anything about other creatures. He can shoot, of course. And he cannot do anything about natural disasters. But he can do whatever about himself. Because your pain is not so much physical, it is mental. Say if you are in a good mood, I offer my favorite example. A child is in a good mood. Give him a slap, he laughs. He's in a bad mood, give him a sweet to eat, he cries. So the objective situation, like sweet or a slap, doesn't matter. Matters what is his mood. So control the mood. Control the mood. Then you have no suffering. No suffering, no happiness also. You become neutral. You become neutral. But happiness, this personal life should be happy type. I shall have moods, but sufferings that I won't have. If you can cultivate that, you are still better. You are a yogi. I have seen a manager, some business he was doing. He was chastising some of his assistants, very rudely or striking this, that. Then telephone rings, his client, with so much sweetness was talking, I told him, he's a yogi. In a second he changed himself. He's a worldly yogi, but still a yogi, who knows how to change his mood. Many of the religious people cannot change, you see. We are against some immoral things, we remain angry, you see. So real yogi, for the time being, he will be angry. Next moment, he will not be. So I congratulated that man. As far as I know, you are a yogi. No, I am not a yogi, I am a businessman. Businessmen will have to do like this a little. That idea. Anyhow, so karma yoga brings the help of psychology. Half of religion is psychology. How to adjust with life. How to keep devotion, this, that. Devotion, these are positive idea. But how to adjust with life is a major problem in life. Because life, jnana yoga says, it is not permanent, but still, as long as I can enjoy it, that I try. So, varieties of techniques are involved. Say, pains come in life. Now, I have children. The children like to play. But they say, if you go all the time play and all the time see television, you'll be a bad student and will not pass well, or your eyes will be spoiled. So don't do it. Showing the bad side of things. Television may have many good things also. But he doesn't need the good side. He's already attached. So people are told, oh, you are too much attached. Be detached, be detached. And if you fall in the hands of evangelists, they'll scare you. If you don't behave, hell is waiting for you. By the by, time is there. Not there, 2 minutes. Let me finish my story. I like stories, and sometimes I impose stories on people. One man was a great sinner. So he was to go to hell. So ask the agent. Agent said, you have got option. Which hell do you want? Well, give me a description of the hell. Well, hell, they will torture you with varieties of instruments to torture you. Fire they will give, these they will give. Various machines that, modern machines they use to prick you, this, that. Well, describe which. Do you like to go to German hell? Well, how is it? Well, these things they will do. What about French hell? Well, they are also more or less, but they are not so efficient, but they are there also. What about Indian hell? They tell, is there a hell for Indians? Yes. Well, give me Indian hell. Well, why? Because there no machine works. So, that is the idea. Anyhow, I am not going to psychological tidbits. By telling side stories, I have already consumed my time. Side stories like this, the student, he doesn't see this, restrains himself, studies, then he comes out as a good scholar or good man of achievement. But if he played at that time, well, this is a great austerity. I like playing, I cannot play. I am to study. It is a painful situation. In our boyhood days, you thought, people wrote, of all age, the childhood is the most enjoyable stage. Nowadays they are writing, childhood is not enjoyable. There is fear, there is anxiety to please the parents, do this. They're full of anxiety. And much of the worrying habit comes from childhood. If my mother will be happy, father will be happy or not. Or fear comes, if they're not happy. So many of the basic things are engendered in young days. That is psychology, of course. But then if the conscious mind I cannot control, then what is the use of knowing it? We believe that with conscious mind you can control the effect. That is the function of the yogis. That I shall turn into a yogi and control this. I won't allow my subconscious to control me fully. If it is impossible, that's a different question. But as long as I can fight it back. Otherwise, no use knowing anything or a conscious mind. That is the important idea. So Karma Yuga is meant for consciously trying to stop the painful experience and increase the happier experience if possible. By consciously trying, Swamiji in one place says, be cheerful always. You will be nearer to God by remaining cheerful always. Very dramatic statement. Another day I can talk about it. But anyhow, the reason is, the moment you are morose, sad, that means you have lost faith in God. You have lost faith that God is a kind person. Whatever he does will be for the good of me. Immediately it looks very bad. But if you see it after 20 years, that was a good thing that he did me. So he had a long-range vision, which I don't have. So that is how we adjust with life, make life livable, And by this we can strengthen your mind, by yoga, by this, that. Strengthen your mind. And by stronger mind you can achieve many things. And through varieties of methods, gradually mind will be aware of a higher reality, God, and you will progress towards God. Old idea was, if you cannot do it in one life, we shall give you more lives. Go ahead and try. But modern man has got doubt. 70% of Americans, white Americans, believe in rebirth. That is the statistics given in papers. Hindus, of course, believe, Buddhists believe. From childhood they have heard. So half mixture of half faith, half doubt. But even here, they say 70% believe in it. 100% nobody believes in anything, you see, but life goes on. You need not believe in everything. Say you are sure that you will get your lunch, supper. Suddenly something happens, you run, you don't get it. So that is the idea in Karma Yoga. Consciously, methodically, you develop your devotion or develop your detachment so that you are not affected by the buffetings of the world. So, you have to understand it and practice in life, and then life will be sweeter, better. And through God's grace, you may progress in spiritual life also. Thank you.